As you turn in your Bibles to Genesis, the 38th chapter, one of the things that's interesting as we come to this part of Genesis, there are very few difficult things to talk about as we look at an overview. But the very first thing that you learn is Judah, from whom Jesus was descended, is not a real prince of a fellow. He has a lot of human flaws. And so Judah's first son was evil, as you start reading there in chapter 38 at verse 7. And the Lord took his life. So his second son, Onan, refused to raise a child that was not to be his child. And so he would not give his seed to Tamar. The Lord killed him for this. Then Tamar is told by Judah to wait until a third son, Shelah, grew up. And he would provide an heir. At verse 15, though, we find that Tamar knows that Judah is a despicable person, that he is not right before God, and she is going to show him. So she dresses herself. Now, this would be his daughter-in-law. She dresses herself as a harlot, and that would be with a covered face. And then she bargains with Judah for his seal, his cord, and his staff as a pledge for the payment of the services she would render to him. And of a sheep. And he said, I'll get it to you. 3 months later, we learn in Genesis chapter 38, verse 24, Tamar is pregnant and Judah decides she has to be burned. Now, remember, he's the fellow who's responsible for this child. She then shows him the items that she has, and Judah finally comes to his senses. He says she is more righteous than he, because he did not give her his youngest son. You know, when we are told by the Lord to do things, and we may not understand how the Lord worked in the Old Testament to raise up a nation that would be his, and to raise up a child that would be born of a virgin and save the world from sin, all of these things were set up. Now, the next interesting thing that happens is Tamar gives birth to twins. And interestingly enough, a child sticks his hand out. She ties a small thread around it. And then the hand is withdrawn. And then the other child is born. And so Zerah, who has the cord bound around his wrist, is actually born second. The other child is born first, Perez. But now, as we finish this sort of side story about Judah, we return to the story of Joseph. You'll remember that he had been taken down to Egypt. His brothers had sold him into slavery. You can't say that things were going right. These young men had a terrible case of sibling rivalry. And not only that, they were evil in their hearts. So he was taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, who's one of Pharaoh's officials, bought him from the Ishmaelites. And then at chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, you find that everything Joseph touched turned to good. God was with him. So the section in chapter 39 and verse 7 to 20, Potiphar's wife decides that she wants to have a sexual relationship with Joseph. And Joseph steadfastly refuses because it would be a dishonor to his master and to his God. And so she grabs him and he runs. And as he does, she pulls off this coat with which he's covered. And then she cooks up a story to save her reputation. And Potiphar believes his wife, so that Joseph is put into prison. Now, here's a young man who's been doing what God has told him. So far it's gotten him sold into slavery, and now he's thrown into prison. But all of this is going to work out. We find in chapter 40 that there are two men that he meets in the prison that have been thrown in jail for just cause, and they're the cupbearer and the baker. And again, these fellows are quite forgetful of what their responsibility ought to be, because Beginning in chapter 8, Joseph interprets a dream for the cupbearer, which says, you're going to be restored to your position. And then Joseph asks him, remember me when you are restored to your position. He immediately forgets. What a good thing he's out and he doesn't care about Joseph. But then the baker dreams in verses 16 to 22 of three baskets of bread on his head, and the birds ate them, and the baker would be hanged, Joseph tells him, and the birds would eat him. And that's exactly what happens. 2 years pass by. Now this cupbearer is running around there 2 years and doesn't think a thing about this, but Pharaoh has a dream. And the way it very often works in the Bible, if you can't remember what you said, you say, well, I'm just going to execute all the soothsayers if they don't remember it. And so they don't know what's going on, but Joseph comes down and the cupbearer remembers. He says, verses 1 to 4, Pharaoh, you had a dream of seven fat cows being eaten by seven ugly, gaunt cows. If you're reading from the King James, they're called kine. That's just another word for cattle. And then at verse 5, as Pharaoh has this dream, he falls asleep again. And he has a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. And then down through verse 8, he dreams of the seven fat ears of corn on a stalk. And then they're swallowed by seven thin ears, which came after them. He doesn't know what to make of all this. But as we read here in Genesis chapter 41, beginning at verse 8, in the morning his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them. They didn't know what was going on. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I am reminded of my shortcomings. 2 years later, he finally remembers, oh yes, I met a guy when I was in prison who told me good things. And so in verse 14, we read, Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he's quickly brought up from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. You know, I put this in here, and I thought about the fact that our social mores are changing considerably. But it's interesting to note that here a man was going in, although he'd been in prison, that he was given time to clean up because he was going to see someone important. And something that all of you young people ought to remember, if you're going to see someone important, take the time to prepare. Joseph did. It's a good lesson for us. God includes it in his word. So in verses 14 to 24, Joseph tells him the dream. At verse 25 specifically, he said the dreams of Pharaoh are one. He said, you get the same meaning out of both of these. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now, this is going to set the direction of all of Israel. You recognize for 430 years. Egypt shall have 7 good years and then 7 years of famine. You know, as we think about the famines that are going on in the world today, I was asked a question once about the brethren in the Philippines. Fellow said, are things ever going to change over there? Are they ever going to be able to take care of themselves? And I said, it does not appear to me to be so. But that's no reason for us to be high-minded, as Brother Chongson pointed out. One of the things that we need to do is we need to remember that God has blessed us mightily, that we are more fortunate than any other nation on the face of the earth, insofar as our outlook is concerned and our abilities are concerned. And being Christians, we recognize that we have a responsibility to our brethren as they have these famine. So in chapter 41 at verse 32, we're told the reason the dream has been given in two forms is that the matter had been firmly decided by God and God will do it soon. Now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. You'll notice that Joseph does not say here, I can do this. But rather Pharaoh, looking around, says, well, you're the only guy who knew what was coming, so I'm putting you in charge. And as you heard Joshua read earlier tonight, he said, you're going to be first in all the land after me. And he gave him his ring, and he said, you're in charge of everything. Only when Pharaoh is sitting on his throne is he greater than Joseph, because he recognizes Joseph has been given something by God. And it's especially important for all of Egypt. So Joseph, beginning at verse 33, tells Pharaoh, you start building reserves during the 7 good years. And as you think about 7 years of drought, and we're in the midst of one of the wettest periods that the United States has seen in the last century. I'm told by looking at maps of rain forecasts, and that's nationwide. And so as you look at this, you realize that we are able to forecast weather, and we're able to realize that we're going to have 7 good years. What do you do with that grain? They put it up, and it turns out that when you start looking at storehouses that have been found in Egypt, they find storehouses that have been used to store grain. In other words, the Egyptians learned this lesson well. They have 7 good years, and then it's followed by 7 bad. Joseph is placed in charge of all of this, second in command of all the land. As I said, verse 39, Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. In other words, because God has favored you, I'm going to put you into this position. Brethren, every once in a while we're put in positions and we don't know why we have the opportunities that we have. But like Joseph, we need to pay attention to what God has placed before us and then do the best that we can with what has been given to us. Remember, he was in jail because of Potiphar's wife for 2 years. Remember before that, he was thrown down in that pit and then sold by the Ishmaelites. So as you realize, there are a lot of things that happen here. Here's a kid thrown in slavery, and all because he kept telling his brothers the dreams he was having. And they got mad at him because they thought that these dreams were something cooked up by him to make him look good. So at verse 44, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I'm Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah, gave him Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Now, in verse 46, you recognize that Joseph is 30 years old. This is not an old age. And as we look at our lives today, we realize that we are much better off than people were at this time. Now, I will tell you that God is going to do things for his children as he leads them out of the land of Egypt to continue these blessings so that they will fulfill the promises that have been given to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. And as one of your memory verses points out, God was their God, and he had appointed them to do these things. So in verse 49, it tells us Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph by Aseneth, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. If you recall, Joseph and his 2 sons, each of them then has a half-tribe. As they go into the land of Canaan, they inherit equally with the other tribes. And the Levites have no inheritance in the land of Israel, but rather they are given the tithe to take care of them. Verse 53, it says, the 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end. When I was a young man in the area in which I grew up, They said that if a farmer was able to make a crop once every 7 years, he could pay his bills. If he was able to do more than that, at 3 years, he would be able to buy equipment. And if he had more than 3 years out of seven where he had a good crop, he could afford to replace his cars and upgrade his house. It's a land much like Egypt. It depends upon water, and it comes from the sky, and that's the only place they got it back then. They now have irrigation. I was amazed at the amount of irrigation that's going on in the West. But this too shall pass. Those are problems that we recognize are out there for us. We do not know when these calamities are going to happen. And I would tell you all, brethren, that as we share with others, there may come a time when we're going to need them to share with us. At verse 57, we see the culmination of this entire plan with Joseph. All nations come to Egypt to buy grain. So you realize that Joseph's brothers are going to come down, and they're going to need grain. As you review these things, you can see the hand of God as He operates in the lives of men so that His will may be done. He sets before us opportunities, and we must take those as they are given, and we must follow God's word to make certain that we make the most of these opportunities. If you're here this evening and you haven't been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would encourage you to think about this, and if there's any way in which we can help you, won't you let us know as together we stand and we sing.